British Sky Broadcasting presents The Usual Suspects, a film by Bryan Singer, starring Stephen Baldwin, Gabriel Byrne, Chaz Palminteri, Kevin Pollock, Pete Postlethwaite, and Kevin Spacey. Also starring Susie Amis, Giancarlo Esposito, Benicio del Toro, and Dan Hedaya. Music by John Ottman. Stripes of reflected light waver on a stretch of oil-black water. Title reads, San Pedro, California, last night. A man sits slumped on what appears to be the deck of a small ship. He ignites an entire book of matches and wearily lights his cigarette. Clear liquid courses down from what appears to be a bullet hole in a metal tank. The man drops the flaming matchbook. Flames snake away along a groove in the deck full of the clear liquid past the prone corpse of a man, only to be doused out by a jet of urine issuing from a dark-clad figure on the bridge overhead. The smoker looks up and shakes his head and winces as if finally defeated. The dark-clad figure zips his fly and turns to walk slowly down the stairs to the deck. He walks over to where the smoker is sitting, produces a lighter, flicks the flint, and raises it to light a cigarette. The man on the floor seems only now to realize who it is standing over him, and again shakes his head.
How you doing, Keaton? I can't feel my legs. Kaiser.
Kaiser pulls a pistol from his pocket. Keaton looks at the pistol and then up at Kaiser with an expression of utter resignation.
The time is 12:30.
Kaiser swaps the gun into his left hand. Keaton throws him a look of stoical assent. Kaiser comes closer, aiming the pistol at Keaton's head. The ship, named the Tanager, bobs gently on its moorings. The clear liquid continues to pour from the hole in the tank. Kaiser lets fall his lighted cigarette and turns on his heel. The flames course along the narrow channel in the deck towards the tank. Kaiser's shadow swiftly descends the rungs of a fixed ladder. The flames zip along the deck beneath the feet of the prone corpse towards a tangle of ropes and equipment. A volcano of orange flame sears the surrounding darkness. A skinny figure sits before a tribunal.
It all started back in New York 6 weeks ago. A truck loaded with Strip gun parts got jacked outside of Queens. The driver didn't see anybody, but somebody fucked up. He heard a voice. Sometimes that's all you need. Mr. McManus?
Christ, don't you fucking guys ever sleep?
We have a warrant for your arrest.
Fuck you, pig.
The police haul the man out of bed. A man works in a car paint shop. In walk several men in suits.
Hockney? Who wants to know?
New York Police Department.
Hockney reaches for a rag. The police dash in, guns drawn.
Freeze! Hold it!
Sure you brought up guys?
From out of a dime store steps a man of Hispanic appearance, dressed in a sharp black suit. A black bow tie hangs undone around the collar of his vivid flame-coloured shirt. He rounds a corner and then spins on his heel, retracing his steps in a strange, almost mincing walk. Armed police close in from two cars and arrest him there on the sidewalk. He seems to make some kind of wisecrack as one of the officers guides him into the rear seat of one of the cars. Down an ornate staircase walks a smartly dressed man of Italian descent, backed by four other men.
It's quite simple, really. A restaurant that changes with taste without losing the overall aesthetic. In other words, the atmosphere will not be painted on the walls.
Is it weird, Leafy?
Well, let me give you an example.
This I had to see for myself.
David, I'm in a meeting.
Time for another one.
Everyone, this is David Kuyan.
Special Agent Kuyan, U.S. Customs. These gentlemen are from the New York Police Department. You look good, Keaton. Better than I would have thought.
You have a problem, Mr. Keaton?
Small matter of a stolen truck loaded with guns.
Mr. Keaton.
Will you excuse us for a moment?
We have some questions to ask you downtown. You're going to be a while.
Peut-être nous vous laisserons en discuter.
No, please.
No,
please.
Please,
sit down. This is a small problem. Enjoy the meal.
Keaton's pretty blonde associate is left trying to mollify the two French businessmen.
It didn't make sense that I'd be there. I mean, these guys were hardcore hijackers. But there I was. At that point, I wasn't scared. I knew I hadn't done anything they could do me for. Besides, it was fun. I got to make like I was notorious.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
Hand me the keys, you fucking cocksucker.
Number two, step forward.
Give me the fucking keys, you fucking cocksucker, motherfucker!
Knock it off, get back. Number three, step forward.
Hand me the keys, you cocksucker.
In English, please.
Excuse me?
In English.
Hand me the fucking keys, you cocksucker, what the fuck?
Number four, step forward.
It was bullshit. The whole rap was a setup.
Hand me the keys, you fucking cocksucker.
It was all the cops' fault. You don't put guys like that into a room together. Who knows what can happen?
Hand me the keys, you fucking cocksucker.
This has really got to be embarrassing for you guys, huh?
They drilled us all night. Somebody was pissed about that truck getting hijacked and the cops had nothing. They were hoping somebody would slip up and give them something to go on. They knew we wouldn't fight it because they knew how to lean on us. They've been doing it forever. I mean, our rights went right out the window. It was a violation. I mean, disgraceful. They went after McManus first. Top-notch entry man.
What truck?
The truck with the guns, fucko.
Fucko.
He was a good guy. Crazy, though.
You want to know what your buddy Fenster told us?
Say who?
McManus. He told us another story altogether.
Oh, is that the one about the hookup with a dysentery?
Fenster always worked with McManus. He was a real tight ass, but when it came to the job, he was right on. A smart man.
What are you saying?
I say he'll flip you.
He'll what?
Flip you. Flip you for real.
Yeah, I'm shaking. Come on.
Okay.
Answer my question.
You hit me in the back. Hello?
I want my lawyer. I'm gonna have your fucking badge, cocksucker.
Todd Hockney. I know you. Good with explosives. Without a doubt, the one guy who didn't give a fuck about anybody.
You guys don't have a fucking leg to stand on.
You think so, tough guy? I could put you in Queens on the night of the hijacking.
Really? I live in Queens. Did you put that together yourself, Einstein? What, you got a team of monkeys working around the clock on this?
You know what happens if you do another turn in the joint?
Fuck your father in the shower and then have a snack. You gonna charge me, dickhead?
I'll charge you when I'm ready.
With what?
You know damn well, dead man.
But Keaton? Keaton was the real prize for them, for obvious reasons.
It was your mistake, not mine. Did you ever stop to ask me? Hmm? I mean, I've been walking around with the same face, the same name. I'm a businessman.
Yeah, what's that, the restaurant business? Now, from now on, you're in the getting fucked by us business. I'm gonna make you famous, cocksucker.
Like I said, it was your mistake, not mine. Now you charge me with this shit, and I'll beat it. Okay? Let's get back to the truck, asshole.
I really, 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 so I can do something about this shit. I ain't gonna hold it every 5 minutes. So I did a little time. Does that mean I get railed every time a truck finds whatever time? Fuck them!
Finster, will you relax? These guys don't have any probable cause.
You fucking ain't right. No PC, no goddamn right. You do something, I never let you go. You know, they treat me like a criminal. I'm not a criminal.
You are a criminal.
And what you gotta go and do that? Trying to make a point.
Why don't you make your point? You're making me tired all over.
Fuck it, then.
I heard you were dead.
Oh, yeah?
Well, you heard right.
Word I got is you hung up your spurs, man. What's that all about?
What's this?
Rumor has it Keaton's gone straight. I hear he's tapping Edie Finneran.
Who's that?
She's a heavyweight criminal lawyer from uptown, and I hear she's Keaton's meal ticket.
How about it, Keaton? You a lawyer's wife? What kind of retainer are you giving her?
Whoops.
Hey, Fenster, do your friend a favor. Tell him to keep quiet.
Dean Keaton. Gone clean, huh? Say it ain't so. Or was it you that hit that truck?
Mac, forget him. Did you get to talk to your lawyer?
This whole thing was a shakedown.
What makes you say that?
How many times you been in the lineup? It's always you and four dummies. PD are paying homeless guys $10 a head half the time. And there's no way they'd line five felons in the same row. No way. And what's a vice lineup? Public defender could get you out of that one.
So why the hell was I a strip search?
It was the feds. A truckload of guns get snagged. Customs comes down on top of NYPD looking for answers. They come up with us. They're clutching at straws.
I had a guy's finger in my asshole tonight.
Is it Friday already?
Yeah, I love a boy. You want a piece? Jump in. I love you. So who in the goddamn piss hell stole that fucking truck?
What did you say?
Who stole the fucking truck?
I don't want to know.
Who asked you, working man?
Fuck who did it. What I want to know is who's the gimp.
He's okay.
Says you. How do I know that? What about a pretzel man? What's your story?
His name is Verbal. Verbal Kent.
Verbal?
Yeah.
Roger, really. People say I talk too much.
Yeah, I was just gonna tell you to shut up.
We met before, once or twice.
In county. I was in for fraud.
You were in a lineup then, too. What happened?
I walked. 90 days. Suspended.
So you did it.
All right, now look. We've all been put out by this whole thing, right? So I figure we owe it to ourselves to salvage a little dignity. Now, me and Fenster heard about a little job.
Why don't you just calm down?
What do you care what he has to say?
I'm just talking here. And it seems to me like Mr. Hockney wants to hear what I got to say, and I know Fenster's down. What about you, guy?
I'm interested, sure.
There, see? So now I'd like to exercise my right to free assembly.
Why don't you just shut up?
You're missing the point.
No. You're missing the point. I don't want to hear anything from you. I don't care about your job. And, I want nothing to do with any of you. I beg your pardon. But you can all go to hell.
Dean Keaton. Gone the high road. What is the world coming to?
Verbal looks on sympathetically.
Fuck 'em.
And that was how it started. The five of us being brought in on a trumped-up charge to be leaned on by halfwits.
Okay, now I really can't talk about it much here.
What the cops never figured out, and what I know now, was that these men would never break, never lie down, never bend over for anybody. Anybody.
Verbal, skinny and with a withered leg, gazes ingenuously towards Keaton. San Pedro, present day. A charred corpse is lined up with a dozen more on the dockside. A black man stares down from the wharf.
Who are you?
Agent Jack Bayer, FBI. How many dead?
15 so far. They're still pulling some bodies out of the water, though.
Any survivors?
Yeah, there's two. One guy's in county hospital, but he's in a coma. The DA has a second guy, a cripple from New York, I think. Listen, the chief wants his place sealed off. If you have any questions, give him a call.
Bayer, at the mention of a cripple from New York, spins around and walks away, coming to stand sucking pensively on his cigar. He removes his dark glasses, thinks some more, and then sets off decisively. On the dockside, the tanager continues to belch out a plume of black smoke. Across the harbour, there floats what appears to be the corpse of a man. A jet plane glides down to land.
This is Dave Kuyan. I'll be in Los Angeles until Tuesday. If you need to reach me, contact Jeff Rabin of the San Pedro Police Department at extension 112. Have a nice day.
Why can't I see you?
Dave, I told you.
The DA came down here last night ready to arraign even before they moved into the county, okay? Kent's lawyer shows up 5 minutes later. DA comes out of the office looking like the boogeyman smacked them around. All right? They take a statement and they cut him a deal.
Well, did they charge him with anything?
Yeah, weapons. Misdemeanor, too.
What is that?
Listen, I give the DA credit for getting that much, you understand?
Excuse me, sir.
This whole thing has turned political. The mayor was here last night, the chief. This morning, the governor called, okay? I'm telling you, this guy is protected from up on high by the Prince of Darkness. Take my word for it.
Well, when does he post bail?
Maybe 2 hours tops.
Well, I want to see him.
No, Dave.
No, I got to see him, Jeffrey.
Dave, no, I can't.
Listen, you got to do this for me. I came a long way for this.
Dave, please. Even if I let you talk to him, he won't talk to you. He's paranoid about being recorded.
He knows the interrogation rooms are all wired.
I quit. This won't be an interrogation. Just a friendly chat to kill some time.
He will not go into the interrogation.
Then someplace else? Then.
Where?
No. If this was a dope deal, where's the dope? If it was a hit, who called it in?
And I'm sure you have a host of wild theories to answer all these questions, Dave.
You know damn well what I think.
That's crazy. And besides, it doesn't even matter. The guy's got total immunity. His story checks out. He doesn't know what you want to know.
I don't think he does. Not exactly. But there's a lot more to his story, believe me. Jeffrey, look, I want to know why 27 men died on that pier for what looks to be $91 million worth of dope that wasn't there. And above all, I want to be sure Dean Keaton's dead.
He's dead.
Come on, 2 hours, just till he makes bail.
They're all dead. I don't care how tough a guy you say this Keaton was, nobody on that boat could have come out alive.
Jack Bear walks through a hospital.
Is he talking?
He regained consciousness less than an hour ago. He spoke not English, then he lapsed.
Hungarian.
I don't know. I think that might have been what it was.
Yeah, most of them were Hungarians.
Here, you got to put on one of these.
Burn victims are very susceptible to infection. And of course, there's no smoking.
Bayer, masked and in scrubs, approaches the bedside of a heavily bandaged man. He leans over, pulling off his mask.
Keep your mask up. Please don't touch him.
He's going to die?
He has burns over 60% of his body. A number of his ribs are broken.
Call hospital security. Get a man put on the door. The police get here.
Is he dangerous?
Yes. Do it. Do it now.
Joel?
Yeah, Bayer, down in L.A. County. Look, the guy they pulled out of the harbor is Artash Kovacs.
Yes, yes,
I'm sure.
To the much hardnesky.
I can't hear you.
Yes. To the much hardnesky.
Shut up on the phone. Yes.
Holger Schramm.
Well, no, not trying to put him in. Send me someone who can speak Hungarian.
Yeah, he's awake. He's talking
like a Thai hooker.
Latam a Kaiser Schüsse. Nemertes.
What?
Kaiser Schüsse. Kaiser Schüsse. Latam a Kaiser Schüsse.
Joe, yeah, call Dan Metzheiser over at Justice and find Dave Kuyan from Customs.
Damn it. Show him that fucking
Verbal sits, as if butter wouldn't melt in his mouth, in the office of Sergeant Jeffrey Rabin of the San Pedro Police Department. His watery eyes scan the crowded pinboards on the walls as if with total indifference. Outside, David Kuyan adjusts his tie with meticulous care and then heads into the office with Rabin.
Verbal, this is Agent Kuyan from Customs.
Nice to meet you.
He wants to ask you a few questions before you go.
What about?
About Dean Keene, mostly. But I'd like to start at the lineup back in New York.
Can I get some coffee?
In a while. Let's talk about the lineup.
I'm really thirsty. I used to dehydrate as a kid. One time it got so bad my piss come out like snot. I'm not kidding, it was all thick and
gooey. I'll get you fucking coffee. Get me one too while you're at it.
That guy is tense. Tension is a killer. I used to be in a barbershop quartet in Skokie, Illinois. The baritone was this guy named Kip Diskin. Big fat guy, I mean like orca fat. He was so stressed in the morning, you know.
Verbal, you know we're trying to help you.
Sure, and I appreciate that. And I want to help you, Agent Kuyan. I like cops. I would have liked to have been a fed myself, but my CP always...
Verbal, you're not telling us everything. I know you know something.
I told the DA everything I know.
Verbal, I know you like Keene. I know you think he's a good man.
I know he was good.
He was a corrupt cop.
Sure, 15 years ago, but he was a good thief. Anyway, the cops wouldn't let him go legit.
Dean Keene was a piece of shit.
Are you trying to get a rise out of me, Agent Kuyan?
I just want to hear your story.
It's all there. May I have a cigarette?
According to your statement...
I need a light.
Verbal fumbles. Kuyan impatiently retrieves the lighter.
According to your statement, you're a short con operator. Run the milk. According to your statement, you're a short con operator. Run the mill scams.
That's been suppressed. Anything in there is inadmissible.
Oh, I know. Sweet deal you have here. Total immunity.
Well, I do have the weapons charge. I'm looking at 6 whole months, hard time.
You know a dealer named Ruby Dima, Verbal?
You know a religious guy named John Paul?
You know Ruby's in Attica?
He didn't have my lawyer.
I know Ruby. He's big on respect. He's a good friend of mine. Likes me very much. Now, I know your testimony is sealed. Ruby's well-connected. He's got a lot of friends inside, do a lot of favors for him. What do you think he would say if he found out you dropped his name to the DA?
There's nothing in there about Ruby.
I'll be sure to mention that to him. First thing on the job, you know what I learned? How to spot a murderer. Let's say you arrest 3 guys for the same killing. You put them all in jail overnight. The next morning, whoever's sleeping is your man. You see, if you're guilty, you know you're caught. You get some rest. You let your guard down. You follow me?
No.
Let me get right to the point. I'm smarter than you. And I'm going to find out what I want to know. And I'm going to get it from you whether you like it or not.
I'm not a rat.
Rabin returns with coffee.
Back when I was picking beans in Guatemala, we used to make fresh coffee. Right off the trees, I mean. That was good. This is shit, but hey, I'm in a police station.
Can we get started again? Now, what happened after the lineup?
Verbal sips his coffee and gazes up at Kuyan. Keaton emerges from a police station with Edie.
The desk sergeant was was actually trying to tell me that he couldn't release you. I mean, can you believe that? You weren't even charged. You're police. You know, I want to have pictures taken of your face. Take them to the DA's office first thing tomorrow.
Forget about it.
Absolutely not. I'm going to have this thing in front of the grand jury by Monday.
Look, I don't want to talk about it, Edie, okay? So what did Fortier and Renault say?
They asked for some more time. Think about it. Best
time. Damn it!
Okay.
More time for what, Edie? No matter how you cover my tracks, they're still going to find out about me.
Give me some credit. I got you this far. Let's go to the grand jury. You know, this isn't going to stop if we end up...
It's never going to stop, period. By next week, every investor in the city is going to be walking away from us. It's finished. I'm finished.
Keaton glances up as Verbal hobbles by, looking at him.
Don't give up on me now, Dean.
It's never going to stop.
Verbal heads off across the busy road, dragging his deformed left leg.
I love you.
They ruined me in there tonight.
I love you. Do you hear me?
McManus and Fenster loiter across the street, observing Keaton.
What?
Keaton pulls Edie to him.
She's good at my place.
Looking over her head, however, he meets the gaze of first McManus, then Hockney, then Verbal, who stands at the entrance to the subway looking back.
I'll worry about this tomorrow.
Fenster and McManus had a cagey proposition. A fast jump, high risk, long money. We all knew it could be done. The way I figured, to do it wrong meant killing. To do it right took five men. Five men meant Keaton. Keaton took convincing.
New York's finest taxi service.
Bullshit. Bullshit. They don't operate anymore.
McManus has a friend in the 14th precinct. They're coming out for one job Thursday. They're picking up a guy smuggling emeralds out of South America. McManus already has a fence set to take the stuff.
A fence who?
Some guy in California. His name is Redfoot.
I never heard of him.
You have to come.
What's it to you whether I do it or not?
They don't know me. You do. They won't take me unless you go. Look at me. I need this. Oh, you're telling me you don't need this? Is this your place? Look, I'm not knocking you. You look like you got a good little scam going with this lawyer.
Oh! Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. You say it's the real thing? That's cool.
You okay?
I was out of line. But they're never gonna stop with us, you know that. As clean as you could ever get, they'll never let you go. Now, this way, we hit the cops where it hurts and we get well in the meantime.
You're sure you're okay?
I'll be all right.
Verbal hobbles pitifully away, clutching his midriff where Keaton hit him. He moves into the chicly appointed living room of the flat and struggles to sit on a step.
Forget it. I'll probably shed blood tonight.
So, how do they want to do it?
McManus wants to go in shooting. I say no.
Fenster. Hockney.
They're pretty pissed off. They'll do anything. Now, I got a way to do it without killing anyone, but like I say, they won't let me in without you.
$3 million?
Maybe more.
No killing.
Not if we do it my way.
A passenger jet looms slowly down through leaden mists to land at an airport. Police squad car waits at the airport pickup point. A bearded man in a pale suit and mac, wearing a bow tie and a trilby hat, emerges and goes to climb in the rear of the squad car.
New York's finest taxi service was not your normal taxi service. It was a ring of corrupt cops in the NYPD that ran a high-profit racket, driving smugglers and drug dealers all over the city. For a few $100 a mile, you got your own blue and white and a police escort. They even had their own business cards. After a while, somebody started asking questions and the taxi service shut down. Ever since then, internal affairs have been waiting to catch them in the act. And that's where we came in.
So, how was the flight?
Fucking great. Will this get me to Staten Island?
You kidding me? This will get you to Cape Cod.
McManus came to us with the job. Fenster got the vans. Hockney supplied the hardware. I came through with how to do it, so no one got killed. But Keaton? Keaton put on the finishing touch. A little fuck you from the five of us to the NYPD.
Alright, watch this. Watch this. Hold. Oh, careful, careful.
The squad car is hemmed in by vans.
Holy shit!
Don't move, what? You fucker!
Drop it! Now, motherfucker! Drop the fucking gun!
Hurry up!
Drop it! Don't move! Don't fucking touch the
fuck
thing!
You guys want?
Don't fucking put the fucking thing
in the fucking car! Stupid asshole!
Watch the glass!
Fucking move,
mother! You want a buckshot shampoo, chubby?
Shut up! Oh, no! Oh,
oh, fuck.
Afternoon, my little pork chops. Now give me the shit.
Don't move!
Give me the fucking shit!
Give me the fucking thing! Give me the fucking thing!
Give me the fucking thing! Shit, man! Hurry up! Come on!
Now the money.
There's no money!
Give me the money right now, motherfucker!
There's no fucking money!
Give me the money! Give me the fucking money!
Do it! Get on the money!
Give me the fucking money!
Get on the money! Hurry up! You know the fucking who? You know the fuck I am! You people know the fuck I am! Fuck!
We do now, jerk off.
One of the gang stands on the roof of the wrecked squad car and pours a pink liquid over it.
What's that?
What the fuck was that? Holy shit!
The gang member lights the liquid and the vans all pull away, leaving the police and the bearded criminal scrabbling to get clear of the flames.
Keaton made an anonymous phone call. The press was on the scene before the police were. Strauss and Rizzi were indicted 3 days later. Within a few weeks, 50 more cops went down with them. Everybody got it right in the ass, from the chief on down. It was beautiful.
The skyline of New York rises above the Hudson River. Fenster and Hockney crack open cans of beer.
Ah, he's 250. Dr. Keaton.
There's more here than I thought.
When's the feds come?
Redfoot never comes to see me. I always go to see him.
In California?
Yes, Verbal. In California. Fenster and I will be...
Wait. Hold the fucking phone. You and Fenster? No. You fucking kidding me?
Okay, so, and who's gonna go?
We all go.
What's your fucking problem, man?
My fucking problem, man, is that you and Fenster are off honeymooning in California while the rest of us are sitting here holding our dicks.
Hey, the job's over. Cool it. LA is a good place to lay low for a while.
You wanna dance?
Hockney faces up to McManus. The angle of their heads alter as if they are about to kiss.
Ladies.
McManus laughs and breaks away, leaving Hockney looking somewhat disappointed.
I would like to propose a toast.
There you go.
To Mr. Verbal. The man with the plan.
Hockney sits down at a bench on which is laid out a cloth covered with several piles of sizable emeralds and a wad of cash. The Flatiron building in New York rises upwards in its improbable elegance.
We're gonna miss the flight. Don't do this. Send her a note, something.
I said we'd make it.
Keaton, sitting with Verbal in a luxurious leather-upholstered lounge, disappears into his own dark thoughts, picking at his teeth as he does so. Keaton leaves the balcony. Edie continues working, then casts a look upwards, appearing sad to find the balcony deserted. Sergeant Rabin sits at his desk. Kuyan perches with his back to him.
That's heartwarming.
Really?
I'm weepy.
Jeff, you want to wait outside?
You guys wanted to know what happened after the lineup, I'm telling you.
Come on, Verbal. Who do you think you're talking to? You expect me to believe that he retired for a woman? Bullshit. Keaton was using her.
He loved her.
Sure.
And I'm supposed to believe that hitting the taxi service wasn't his idea either.
It was all Fenster and McManus.
Come on, Keaton was a cop for 4 years. Who else would know the taxi service better? The job had his name written all over it.
But Edie had them all turned around.
Let me tell you something. I know Dean Keaton. I've been investigating him for the past 3 years. The guy I know is a cold-blooded bastard. IAD indicted him on 3 counts of murder before he was kicked off the force. So don't sell me the hooker with the heart of gold.
You got him all wrong.
Do I? Dean Keaton was under indictment a total of 7 times while he was on the force. In every case, witnesses either reversed their testimony to the grand jury or died before they could testify. When they finally did nail him for fraud, he spent 5 years in Sing Sing. He killed 3 prisoners inside. Of course, I can't prove this. But I can't prove the best part either. Dean Keaton was dead. Did you know that? He died in a fire 2 years ago. During an investigation into the murder of a witness who was going to testify against him. 2 people saw Dean Keaton walk into a warehouse he owned just before it blew up. They said he went in to check a leaking gas main. It blew up and took all of Dean Keaton with it. Within 3 months of the explosion, the 2 witnesses, they were dead. One killed himself in his car. The other fell down an open elevator shaft.
Agent Baird.
Let's get the show on the
Agent
road.
Baird.
Yeah, wait, just
this
wait, hold
on.
This
is not what we discussed. There are far too many people
look,
in this
look,
room.
Doctor, doctor, look, I promise we'll be out of here before he blows his Porsche flat, okay?
I have a noon meeting, Baird.
Yeah, okay,
wait, Agent
okay,
Baird,
look,
5 minutes.
Look, everyone just calm down, all right? I want you to ask this man about the shootout in the harbor.
Ishit van shegit any taget. Eka your tudni mitter tenta kika tebe.
What votum kiti pushers megvenni? Azakar tukvini major or sagra?
He says they were buying dope. We know.
As a pusher, she smeared out. As her dug it. It all goes out well.
He doesn't know what they were buying, but not dope. People.
What?
Megal ne kengemet. Nemirtet. In latum as her dug it. Latum. Semto semelatum.
He needs guarantees.
What is he talking about? Guarantees.
He says his life's in danger.
Semel semelatum.
He saw the devil. Looked him in the eye.
I'm on my way.
No, no, no. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Ask him to tell him what he told me about the devil. Who's the devil?
Okay, Kiaz, sir, the Kitlata.
Kaiser Schurze. Latum, Uvot Lento, Kikotebe, Udil called Minde.
Kaiser Soze.
Yeah, he was in the harbor killing many men.
He saw Kaiser Soze.
Latum as Artsat, Ud Latum. He saw his face. All right, look.
Tell him to tell her what he looks like. Describe him.
Okay. Mon nekem hojnezet kias erde.
6 weeks ago, I get an anonymous phone call telling me I can find Keen eating at Mondino's with his attorney. And there he is. Now, because he never profited from his alleged death, and because we convicted someone else of the murder we tried to pin on him, We had to let him go. He was dead just long enough for the murder rap to blow over. And then he had lunch.
I don't know about that.
Oh, I don't think you do. But you say you saw Keaton die. I think you're covering his ass and he's still out there somewhere. I think he's behind that whole circus at the harbor. My bet is he's using you because you're stupid and you think he's your friend. You tell me he's dead, so be it. I want to be sure he's dead before I go back to New York.
He wasn't behind anything. It was the lawyer.
What lawyer? What lawyer, Verbal?
You know, back when I was in that barbershop quartet in Skokie, Illinois...
You don't think I know you held out on the DA? What did you leave out of that testimony? I could be on the phone to Ruby Deamer in 10 minutes.
The DA gave me immunity.
Not from me. You get no immunity from me, you piece of shit. Every criminal I have put in prison, every cop that owes me a favor, every creeping scumbag that walks the street for a living will know the name of Verbal Kint. Now you talk to me, or that precious immunity they seem so fit to grant you won't be worth the paper the contract put out on your life is printed on.
There was a lawyer. Kobayashi.
Is he the one that killed Keaton?
No, but I'm sure Keaton is dead.
Convince me and tell me every last detail.
On a bluff above the palm-fronded Pacific, an open-topped car moves slowly towards a Chinese-style temple. A group of men move towards the car as it pulls up. Two men, one with an attaché case, get out of the car, leaving two others in the rear seats.
We arrived in Los Angeles and met McManus's fence, Redfoot. He had a good reputation. Seemed like a good guy. Still, we should have known better.
How you doing?
Good, you?
Not bad. No complaint.
How's it going, Fister?
Don't need to open it, right?
It must be Keaton.
Redfoot, Dean Keaton, Todd Hockney, and Verbal Kint.
Verbal, man with the plan, huh? You guys interested in any more work?
We're always looking for extra work.
We're on vacation.
Oh, yeah. That's too bad. I got a ton of work, and I don't have any good people. Not like you guys.
What's the job?
This is a jeweler out of Texas named Saul. He rents a suite in some downtown hotel. He does free appraisals for people. Sometimes he buys, sometimes he doesn't. Anyway, the word is he carries around a lot of cash. So I figure I keep the merchandise, you keep the green. Simple.
What about security?
Couple of bodyguards. Nothing you couldn't handle.
Give me time to check it out.
I expect nothing less from you, man.
Good to see you.
Good
we'll call
see you.
You
too.
All right.
Enjoy LA, huh? Get yourself laid.
Hey, a friend of mine in New York tells me that you know that you knew Spook Hoss.
Well, the way I hear it, you did time with old Spook. Good man, wasn't he? I used to roam dope for him. Too bad he got shipped.
Yeah. I shipped him. Better you hear it from me now than from somebody else later.
I appreciate that. Just out of curiosity, was it business or personal?
A bit of both.
Well, like I said, you give me a call if you're interested, huh?
Is there a problem?
One job. That was the deal.
One job? One job? That's a good one, Keaton.
Keaton fought it as best he could, but a man can't change what he is. He can convince anyone he's someone else, but never himself. It took one day with McManus nagging, and we went back to work.
A large hotel basks in the L.A. sunshine. Three people emerge into an underground car park. Standing behind the open bonnet of a parked car, McManus pulls out a pistol and hides it behind his back.
So anyways, I get out of my car, and the thing is wrecked. And I look in the backseat of the other car, and this woman's totally naked. I'm laughing so hard she can't breathe.
Get in the car, son.
Second one here, somewhere, don't you?
Give me the case.
Give me the fucking case!
me the fucking case. I'm telling you for the last time. Give me the fucking case!
The man in the car hesitates.
Come on! Hey! Hey! Don't move!
Keaton grapples with the man in the car who has pulled a gun. The two bodyguards take advantage of the moment and grab the two gang members covering them. McManus picks up the fallen gun and levels both his weapons at the two struggling pairs, seeming to waver, but in fact just choosing his moment. The two bodyguards slide to the floor.
But just hand over the case. Hand over the fucking case!
The man in the car continues to stare back at Keaton, who keeps his gun leveled at his head, but finally lowers it. Keaton spins round to see Verbal standing there, blinking over the smoking gun in his hand.
Come on, let's go! Come on!
Bad day.
Come on, let's go!
Let's go, go, go!
Verbal limps away from the scene. The man in the car lies slumped with a bullet hole in his forehead. The gang's white van stands parked up on the edge of a lake. The banging coming from within turns out to be McManus hammering at the locks of the attaché case. Breaking it open, he discovers a dozen or so small bags of white powder.
Fuck. Looks like a lot of China to me. Shit.
Nighttime at the Chinese temple.
Guys, come on.
What are you doing? What's
it look like I'm doing?
I'm gonna kill him. Look, we did it your way. Now we're gonna do it my way.
Are you gonna kill him?
I'm gonna deal with
it. You better deal with
it. I'm gonna deal with it. Shut up.
Redfoot gets out of his open-topped car, surrounded by a mob of heavies.
What am I supposed to do with that?
I don't know. Feed it to the gimp. Jesus, pain. I don't know what that is.
What do you mean you don't know? Shut up.
I don't know. I got thrown this job by some lawyer.
Yeah? Too?
I don't know. Some limey. He's a middleman for somebody, okay? He doesn't say, I don't ask.
You're fucking full of shit.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. Listen to me. We want to meet him, okay?
That's funny. Called me last night. He says he wants to meet you guys.
Okay. We'll meet him.
I'll call you.
Good. Do that. No problem.
I don't like it, Dean. I don't like it. Wait a minute. One more thing, tough guy. Any more surprises, and I'm going to kill you.
You're such a tough guy, McManus. But do me a favor, right? Get the fuck off my dick.
No. No.
You put a leash on that puppy. You know, it's an awful shame about Saul getting whacked. Cops are going to be looking for the guys who did it. Sooner or later, they're going to come around asking me. You have a sweet night, ladies.
Fuck you.
In Rabin's office.
So this lawyer,
Kobayashi,
came from Redfoot.
Right.
And why leave this out when you talk to the DA?
Dave, someone to see you.
Jack.
Been looking all over for you.
Still after that coke that took a walk out of that bloodbath in the harbor yesterday?
Yeah.
Well, you can stop looking. There was no coke. I've been in L.A. County talking to a guy they pulled out of a drain pipe in San Pedro yesterday after the shootout. Came to this morning, he started talking. He's part of a Hungarian mob. They had to do a deal with a bunch of guats from Argentina, and he says it was definitely not a dope deal.
But the 91
million... Yeah, we know. But our man says no way on the dope. This Hungarian tells me the whole bunch was pulling stumps for Turkey the next day. They had no time to negotiate that kind of product and no means to move it. What's the money for? Well, he didn't know. No one doing the deal knew except for a few key people. They were all very hush about it, he says. Whatever it was, he's very sensitive.
I don't get it.
Tell me you got the cripple in there from New York.
Yeah.
Did he mention Kaiser Soze?
Who?
Just bear with me here.
Who's Kaiser Soze?
Oh, fuck!
We've been going over this for an hour and a half. What we need to do is find Redfoot, Keaton.
Listen.
And get the hell out of here now.
What we need to do is think. Think back. Somebody with power
Somebody who was capable of tracking us from New York to Los Angeles.
Come on, Dean. What the hell are we doing here?
We're waiting.
Sit down.
Sit down.
No. It's hot and I'm fucking bored.
Mr. Hockney, do stay. Mr. Keaton. Mr. Fenster, I recognize from his mug shots, as well as Mr. McManus. I can only assume that you are Mr. Kint, the gentleman who disposed of Saul Berg. My employer sends his gratitude, a most unexpected benefit. I am Mr. Kobayashi. I have been asked by my employer to bring a proposal to you, gentlemen.
What do you want?
My employer requires your services, gentlemen. One job, one day's work. Very dangerous. He does not expect all of you to live, but those of you who do will have $91 million to divide between you in any way you see fit.
Who's your boss?
I work for Kaiser Soze.
Verbal glances around, wide-eyed, as the gang absorb what is clearly to them a shocking piece of news.
Who's Kaiser Soze?
Judging by the sudden change in mood, Mr. Kint, I feel sure the rest of your associates can tell you. I come with an offer directly from Mr. Soze. An order, actually.
What do you mean, an order?
In 1981, Mr. Keaton, you participated in the hijacking of a truck in Buffalo, New York. The cargo was raw steel, steel which belonged to Mr. Soze and which was destined for Pakistan to be used in a nuclear reactor. A most profitable violation of UN regulations. You had no way of knowing this, Mr. Keaton, because the fellow shipping the steel was working for Mr. Soze without his knowledge. Earlier this year, Mr. Fenster and Mr. McManus hijacked a two-prop cargo flight out of Newark Airport. The plane was carrying gold and platinum wiring, also set for Pakistan. 2 months ago, Mr. Hockney stole a truck carrying gun parts through Queens. Gun parts which were set to be destroyed by the state of New York. They were to be lost in a way station and rerouted to Belfast. Again, Mr. Soze using pawns who had no knowledge. Which brings us to Mr. Kint. 9 months ago, one of Mr. Soze's less than intelligent couriers was taken in a complicated confidence scam by a cripple. He was relieved of $62,000. Now, it has taken us some time to find you. Our intention was to approach you after your apprehension in New York.
You set up the lineup?
Yes. You were not to be released until I had come to see you. It seems Mr. Keaton's attorney, Miss Finneran, was a little too effective in expediting his release. Holding the rest of you became a moot point.
What about Redford?
Mr. Redford knew nothing. Mr. Soze rarely works with the same people for very long, and they never know who they're working for. One cannot be betrayed if one has no people.
So, why telling us?
Because you have stolen from Mr. Soze, Mr. Fenster. All of you. That you did not know you stole from him is the only reason you are still alive. He feels you owe him. You will repay your debt.
All right, fuck the debt. And fuck you. How do we know you work for Soze?
I don't think that is very relevant, Mr. Hockney. All five of you are responsible for the murder of Saul Berg and his bodyguards. And Mr. Redfoot can testify to your involvement, and we can see to it that he will.
What's your point?
The offer is this, gentlemen. Mr. Soze's primary interest is narcotics. He has been competing, shall we say, with a group of Argentinians for several years now. Competing with Mr. Soze has taken its toll. These Argentinians are negotiating the sale of $91 million in cocaine in 3 days' time. Needless to say, this purchase will revitalize the diminishing strength of their organization. Mr. Soze would like you to stop the deal. If you choose, you may wait until after the buy. Whatever money changes hands is yours. Mr. Soze would like you to get to the boat and destroy the cocaine on board. And then you will be free of your obligations to Mr. Soze.
You give me one good reason why I shouldn't kill you right now.
A gift from Mr. Soze. Good day, gentlemen.
The gang, left alone, now turn in stunned silence to the briefcase deposited by the lawyer on the billiard table. Keaton approaches it gingerly. He snaps open the locks. Appearing relieved that it has not exploded, he opens the case. Inside lies some kind of blueprint, possibly of a ship. Beneath this sits a pile of brown envelopes, each clearly marked Fenster, Hockney, McManus, and so on. Keaton distributes the envelopes and the men open them up, pulling out sheaves of papers, which they set to examining.
They got my whole life in here, everything I've ever done since I was 18.
They fucking know everything.
Everybody I've ever worked with or had time with.
Keaton, going through his own file, pulls out covert photos of himself and Edie sitting at a table, smiling and laughing.
No. This isn't right.
I don't know. Who's that guy you stuck about Soze in New York?
Rick Smiley.
Yeah, he did jobs for him. Indirect stuff. And he said he always made five times more money than the job was worth.
This guy's a pipe dream. Kobayashi's using him for window dress.
I don't know. This is bad.
That's bullshit. This guy could be LAPD. It's a fucking setup.
The way I hear it, Zaza, some kind of butcher. A pitiless, psycho, fucked up butcher.
There is no Kaiser Soze.
Who is Kaiser Soze?
He's supposed to be Turkish. Some say his father was German. Nobody ever believed he was real. Nobody ever knew him or saw anybody that ever worked directly for him. But to hear Kobayashi tell it, anybody could have worked for Soze. You never knew. That was his power. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. One story the guys told me, the story I believe, was from his days in Turkey. There was a gang of Hungarians that wanted their own mob. They realized that to be in power, you didn't need guns, or money, or even numbers. You just needed the will to do what the other guy wouldn't. After a while, they come into power, and then they come after Soze. He was small time then, just running dope, they say. They come to his home in the afternoon, looking for his business. They find his wife and kids in the house and decide to wait for Soze.
The gang of hoodlums break violently into the house. They grab the screaming children and proceed to rape the mother in their presence.
He comes home to find his wife raped and children screaming. The Hungarians knew Soze was tough, not to be trifled with, so they let him know they meant business.
One of the men cuts the throat of one of Soze's children.
They tell him they want his territory, all his business. Soze looks over the faces of his family. Then he showed these men of will what will really was.
Soze pulls a gun and shoots two of the Hungarians. The remaining Hungarian grabs Soze's young son and holds a gun to his head. After a brief standoff, Soze turns the gun on his other children and his wife, then on his captive son. The Hungarian stares in disbelief.
Tells him he would rather see his family dead than live another day after this. He lets the last Hungarian go. He waits until his wife and kids are in the ground, and then he goes after the rest of the mob. He kills their kids, he kills their wives, he kills their parents and their parents' friends. He burns down the houses they live in and the stores they work in. He kills people that owe them money. And like that, he's gone. Underground. Nobody's ever seen him since. He becomes a myth, a spook story that criminals tell their kids at night, rat on your pop, and Kaiser Soze will get you. And no one ever really believes.
Do you believe in him, Verbal?
Keaton always said, I don't believe in God, but I'm afraid of him. Well, I believe in God, and the only thing that scares me is Kaiser Soze.
Kuyan reflects on this. In the back room, Bayer and Rabin listen to the tape of the interview.
Do you give any weight to this?
I can introduce you to Dan Metzheiser from Justice. He's got a file on Soze in D.C. Been a hobby of his for a couple of years. A lot of guys equate him to that reporter on The Incredible Hulk.
A uniformed cop hands Rabin a file.
You've heard of him?
By the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, a few times, you know, outside stuff. Somebody working for a guy, worked for a guy, got some money from Kaiser Soze, you know, shit like that. It could be an old badge, you know, a hex sign. Keep people from fucking with you back when a name used to mean something.
But you're here.
Well, shit, yeah. I got a guy trying to walk out of a hospital on a fried drumstick because he's afraid of Soze. Yeah, I'll run up the flagpole.
I came clean. I told it like it happened on the boat. So what if I left out how I got there? It's so full of holes, the DA would have told me to blow amnesty out my ass. So you got what you wanted out of me, so big fucking deal.
So that's why you never told the DA?
Well, you tell me, Agent Kuyan. If I told you the Loch Ness Monster hired me to hit the harbor, what would you say?
Turn state's evidence. We'll put you on the stand. We'll hear it out.
I've got immunity now. What can you possibly offer me?
Well, if there really is a Kaiser Soze, he's going to come looking for you.
Where's your head, Agent Kuyan? Where do you think the pressure's coming from? Kaiser Soze, or whatever you want to call him, he knows where I am right now. He's got the front burner under your ass to let me go so he can scoop me up 10 minutes later. Immunity was just a deal with you assholes. I got a whole new problem when I post bail.
So why play into his hands? We can protect you.
Oh, gee, thanks, Dave. Bang-up job so far. Extortion, coercion. You'll pardon me if I ask you to kiss my pucker. The same fuckers that rounded us up and sank us into this mess are now bailing me out? Fuck you. You think you can catch Kaiser Soze? You think a guy like that comes this close to getting caught and sticks his head out? If he comes up for anything, it'll be to get rid of me. After that, my guess is you'll never hear from him again.
Verbal appears to ponder his uncertain future. In the hospital, the badly burnt Hungarian sailor talks to the police surrounding his bed. The police artist listens intently to the description coming via the translator and sketches on her pad.
What happened next?
We woke up the next morning and Fenster was gone. He couldn't handle the idea of slumming for Soze. He left us a note wishing us good luck and took a chunk of the money we'd scraped together.
Then what?
Well, McManus is furious. He was talking about tracking him down and ripping his heart out, all sorts of shit. That night we got the call.
What call?
Kobayashi told us where we could find Fenster.
On a rocky coastline, McManus leans over Fenster's battered corpse. The others stand around.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here.
We gotta bury him.
With what?
With our hands.
The rest of the gang stare as McManus begins to scoop sand with his bare hands.
Oh, this is nuts. It's dry fucking sand, McManus. When he rots, the surfers are gonna smell him a mile away.
Thank you, fuck!
Caden, what are we gonna do? This fucking guy is gonna kill us.
I don't know about you, peg leg, but I can run. I got no problem with that.
Kobayashi doesn't seem to have a problem with it either.
You run, and we're gonna be digging a hole for you. You got that?
This ain't my boy we're burying. I don't know anybody! So fuck you.
He was my partner for 5 years. We did more jobs, and I saw more money than you can ever count. So fuck you! Because now it's payback!
It's not payback! It's precaution. You want payback, you want to run, I don't care.
I'm not doing this for Fenster. I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm going to finish this thing. This Kobayashi bastard is not going to stand on me.
Keaton kneels and begins scooping sand. McManus returns to join him. Even Verbal hobbles across and crumples to the ground to do his bit. Dave Kuyan balances a cup of coffee on his knee.
After they killed Fenster, nobody would run?
I wanted to. I thought we could make it.
Why didn't you say anything?
Well, believe me, I tried, but Keaton wouldn't have it. It was too far-fetched for him. Keaton was a grounded guy, an ex-cop. To a cop, the explanation is never that complicated. It's always simple. There's no mystery to the street, no arch criminal behind it all. If you got a dead body and you think his brother did it, you're gonna find out you're right. Nobody argued with Keaton. They just set their minds to whacking Kobayashi.
Kobayashi, flanked by a pair of large bodyguards, enters the sun-drenched atrium of a lavish office building. Hockney observes from the balcony.
They're coming up.
Did you hear me? He's coming up.
As soon as we're done.
verbal Keaton and McManus are dressed in painter's overalls. Keaton gestures to McManus, who, carrying a silenced pistol in his hand, walks into the awaiting lift. Kobayashi and his entourage walk along a gleaming corridor towards a lift door. McManus descends the deep lift shaft. Kobayashi waits pensively. He checks his watch as the lift car arrives at his floor. The trio enter. The two bodyguards stand one at each of Kobayashi's shoulders as the car ascends. The lights go out.
Don't move.
Press 20. Do it now.
Kobayashi, now framed by two blood spatters on the glass wall of the lift, looks up. McManus, concealed in the ceiling of the lift car, aims the gun down at him. The lift continues swiftly upwards. A tall building stands out among others on a city skyline. The lift doors slide open. McManus jumps down.
Move!
McManus hands Kobayashi over to Keaton.
The answer is no.
Mr. Soze will be most upset.
Listen, you cocksucker, there is no Kaiser Soze. You mention his name again, I'll kill you right now.
Strange threat, Mr. Keaton. I can only assume that you've come here to kill me anyway.
We know that you can get to us. But now you know that we can get to you. I'm giving you one last chance to call this off.
Mr. My employer has made up his mind. Does not change it.
Neither do we.
You got Fenster, but you won't be able to get all of us, not before one of us gets through to you.
I believe you, Mr. McManus. I most sincerely do. You would not have been chosen were you not so suitable. But I cannot make this decision. Whatever you threaten me with is ludicrous in comparison to what will be done to me if I do not carry out my orders in full.
McManus comes close and presses the silencer of his pistol against Kobayashi's cheek.
I'm the guy that's gonna get you. I just wanted you to know that.
I'm so sorry, Mr. McManus. I implore you, Mr. Keaton, believe me. Mr. Soze is very real and very determined.
We'll see.
Keaton gives the nod to McManus, who stands back with the gun to Kobayashi's head.
Before you do me in, Mr. McManus, you will let me finish my business with Miss Finneran first, won't you?
Verbal looks up in alarm. Keaton steps in.
What did you say?
Edie Finneran. She's upstairs in my office for an extradition deposition. I requested she be put on the case personally. She flew in yesterday. No matter. Kill away, Mr. McManus.
You're lying.
Am I?
The gang, still in their workman's overalls, move in a bunch around Kobayashi along a corridor and into his office. Gesturing for them to hang back, Kobayashi then indicates a glass-fronted office where Edie sits, working, flanked by a tall man.
Miss Finneran's escort, while she's here in Los Angeles. Never leaves her side for a moment. I thought you'd be glad to know she's in good hands. Now get some rest. The boat will be ready for you on Friday. If I see you or any of your friends before then, Miss Finneran will find herself the victim of a most gruesome violation before she dies, as indeed will your father, Mr. Hockney, and your Uncle Randall in Arizona, Mr. Kint. I might only castrate Mr. McManus's nephew, David. I'll make myself clear. We will take care of the two bodies downstairs. We'll add them to the cost of Mr. Fenster. If you'll excuse me, gentlemen.
Kobayashi moves through into the office to join Edie at the table. The gang looks stunned. Keaton leans looking on, his face haunted. Kobayashi catches his eye, nods calmly but imperiously, and then casts a significant look at Edie. Keaton continues gazing bereftly through the glass. The gang sit in a car observing the harbor.
It's a logistical nightmare. Close quarters, 10, maybe 20 men. There's no telling how many more are going to be below deck.
We stealth these guys?
Yeah. With all that coke, they're going to be ready. Which brings me to Sunny Point number 2. Even if one of us gets through and jacks the boat, we still get nothing.
What if we wait for the money?
10 more men at least. Look, in my opinion, it can't be done. Anybody goes in there is not coming out alive.
I'm going to wait for the money.
Me too.
Did you hear what he just said?
If I'm going in, I want a cut.
Me too. There's nothing that can't be done.
I just can't believe we're going to walk into certain death.
News said it's raining in New York.
Night falls over the cranes and moored ships on the harbour side. Keaton and Verbal crouch in the lee of a boat on the wharf.
What language is that?
I don't know. Russian, I think.
Hungarian.
McManus, armed with an enormous sniper rifle, creeps stealthily over the roof of a building overlooking the Tanager. A van moves along the dock parallel to the boat. Hockney lurks in the lee of a speedboat close by. A bunch of the crew go to meet the van as it pulls up. A man gets out of the rear.
Now hold on, Ezra, here. Let me go and get
there. Figure, I make you a
time. I'll look at Tunga for the lumber.
Package has arrived, John. Jovan,
DPDs will get you right.
You kids ready?
I would be if I didn't have to stop and answer you.
I'm ready. McManus, you better be set up in 10 seconds.
I'm ready.
I want you to stay here.
I'm supposed to cover the...
Listen, if we don't get out of this, I want you to take the money and go.
Keaton, I can't...
Find Edie, tell her what happened. Tell her everything. She knows people, she knows what to do. If I don't get Kobayashi my way, she'll get him her way.
What if I...
Just do what I say. Please. Tell her that... Tell her I tried.
Keaton heads off, leaving Verbal looking confused and then thoughtful. McManus has his gun trained on the ship.
McManus, he's on his way.
I'm there.
Keaton sets off along the wooden slatted walkway near water level, which runs from by McManus's rooftop towards the Tanager. Verbal sits in the lee of the boat, his breathing labored as if in fear. A sailor aboard the Tanager spots Keaton approaching and clambers down a stairway to lean over the side of the vessel to call down to a group of men on the walkway below. The men mobilize to confront the approaching Keaton. McManus takes aim.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oswald was a fag.
Keaton calmly walks up to the knot of suspicious and bemused men.
doing? Is there a problem?
Fernando.
¿Qué hace aquí?
Nada.
En el fondo. No, aquí no puede pasar.
No se puede pasar por aquí.
No, no se puede pasar. No, mejor que se regrese.
Nah.
Verbal hears Hockney's command. Hockney leaves a device with a clock counting down from 40 seconds. Keaton nods to the men appearing ready to back off. One of the group has moved away and is scanning the rooftops. Hockney, toting a submachine gun, comes out of hiding and waves casually to one of the men by the van, who waves back. McManus takes aim. Keaton's hand appears to be on a gun in his pocket. Verbal arms a machine gun.
Old MacDonald had a farm, and on the farm he shot some guys. Bada boom, bada bing, bang, boom.
Elvis has left the building.
McManus, having picked off those men on the walkway whom Keaton has not already killed with his two concealed pistols, now runs to join the fray. Hockney stands firing upwards at the remaining crew aboard the ship. Finding his magazine empty and a man running towards him, he is greatly relieved to see Keaton close behind. Keaton guns the man down and prepares to board the ship. McManus crawls across a rope slung from the ship to the wharf. Keaton and McManus are now on board. Hockney looks around cautiously and then trots away along the walkway. McManus and Hockney clean up on board. Hockney, having conned the man guarding the van, shoots him dead and then opens up the rear to find stacks of wooden crates. He opens the first to find it stashed with banknotes.
Hello.
The notes become spattered with blood as Hockney is shot in the back. He turns slowly to face a glaring light as the life fades from his eyes. McManus shoots holes in a tank of clear liquid. Verbal crouches beneath the hull of the boat, his eyes wide. Keaton moves warily down a ladder. McManus clambers down through a hatch in the deck, removing his jacket to enable him to squeeze through. Verbal sits looking fearfully on.
Why didn't you run?
I froze up. I thought about Fenster and how he looked when we buried him. And then I thought about Keaton. It looked like he might pull it off.
Hey.
Boy came across a body on the beach this morning, thrown clear when the boat burned, shot twice in the head. Two guys from the bureau just identified him.
What else?
His name was Arturo Marquez, a petty smuggler from Argentina. He was arrested last year in New York for trafficking. He escapes to California. They pick him up in Long Beach. They're setting up extradition. He escapes again. Now, get this. Edie Finneran's brought in to advise in the proceedings.
Kobayashi.
New York faxed me a copy of his testimony. It was a rat.
Yeah, a big fucking rat.
Arturo was very opposed to returning to prison. So much so that he named close to 50 people. Guess who he named in the finale?
Kaiser Soze.
There's more.
Kuyan returns from his backroom confab with Rabin and Bayer, and looking like his patience is wearing thin, comes to face verbal once again.
I'll tell you what I know. Stop me when this sounds familiar. There was no dope on that boat.
In the hold of the ship, an old man in a silk dressing gown stares around in utter terror. Keaton comes down a set of steps. McManus moves cautiously through a gangway. Keaton bursts through a hatch door. A young crew member opens the door to the old man's cabin.
You, stay quiet.
He's here. I know he's here. That's him. I'm telling you, that's him. I know he's here.
You can't understand. That's him.
Shut up.
That's him, you hear me? I'm telling you, it's Kaiser Soze!
Keaton seems to hear the old man and follows the sound. McManus closes his eyes. The Tanager rocks eerily on its moorings. The harsh metal framework of the ship is festooned with cables and ducts. A bare light bulb swings on its wire. A metal hatch door clanks. Red emergency lights lend a ghoulish aspect to the deserted ship. McManus moves into the recreation cabin where a TV flickers. He pats the head of a nervous dog. Keaton moves into the engine room. McManus throws open a hatch door and levels his gun. He looks inside a row of low cupboards, only to find them empty. The old man, his mouth open in a silent scream, looks upwards in panic as he hears footsteps overhead. McManus descends into the engine room. Keaton spins around as he hears McManus behind him. Both breathe a sigh of relief as they recognize each other.
Where's Harper?
I don't know. There's no coke!
What?
You heard me, you dumb fuck! There's no coke!
What the fuck?
I've been on the ship! I've been in every fucking room!
There is nothing!
Nothing!
What do I mean?
There is no fucking coke!
A shadow limps along the wharf. It is thrown by Verbal as he trots along as fast as his withered leg will allow.
I'm out of here.
Verbal, panting hard, slumps down against a wooden fence alongside the Tanager. In the hold, the old man whimpers. Handle of his hatch door lifts. The old man looks up to see the bloodied corpse of the young man from before toppling into his cabin. The old man stares in terror as the shadow of a man entering the cabin falls across his face.
I told them nothing. I swear. I told them nothing.
The porthole into the old man's cabin is spattered with blood. Verbal remains cowering by his fence. Keaton emerges onto the deck, spots Verbal and gestures him away. Through a hatch doorway, McManus stumbles out towards Keaton.
McManus, the fuck is going on?
Strangest thing.
McManus falls dead, a dagger sticking out of the back of his neck. Verbal hobbles across towards the van, behind which lies Hockney's prone corpse. Shutting the rear doors, he hurries forward and gets behind the wheel. Keaton examines McManus's body. Verbal, finding the key is not in the cab, gets out and begins rifling through the pockets of the fallen driver. A man in a hat standing on the bridge shoots Keaton in the back. Verbal, crouched by the van, looks up in fear. In Rabin's office.
And that's what you say in your statement. You saw a man in a suit with a slim build.
Wait a minute.
I don't have a minute. Now, are you saying you saw Kaiser Sose? You told the DA you didn't know who it was.
I know there was dope on that boat.
Stop stalling, Verbal.
I'm not stalling.
You know what I'm getting
at. Get
out
of my face.
You know what I'm getting at.
I got immunity. I don't have to take that shit.
You know what I'm getting at, Verbal. Yes, you do.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The truth. Try to tell me you saw someone kill Keaton.
I don't know what you're talking about. I did.
You're lying
Keaton.
To me.
I am not.
You've known. You've known this whole fucking time.
I don't know what you're saying. I did see Keaton get shot. I swear to you.
Then why didn't you help him? You had a gun. Why didn't you help him? He was your friend.
Because I was afraid. Okay? Afraid.
Afraid of what?
I knew it was Kaiser Soze.
But Keaton,
it was Kaiser Soze, Agent Kuyan. I mean, the devil himself. How do you shoot the devil in the back?
He holds up his trigger finger.
What if you miss?
All right, let's get back to the pier.
The slim man in the hat turns and walks down the steps to the deck. Verbal hobbles across the wharf to take cover behind a huge pile of nets and ropes. The slim man walks towards Keaton, placing a cigarette in his mouth as he goes and producing a lighter. Verbal looks on, terrified, from the cover of the pile of marine kit. The man in the hat raises a pistol in his left hand. Walking away, the man lets fall his cigarette. The cigarette lights the fluid in the groove on the deck. The shadow of the slim man descends the rungs of a fixed ladder. The flames reach the tanks of fuel. A volcano of flames sears the surrounding darkness. Verbal slumps down into a chair in Rabin's office.
Arturo Marquez, ever hear of him?
What? No.
He was a stool pigeon for the Justice Department. He swore out a statement to federal marshals saying that he had seen and could positively identify one Kaiser Soze. It says right here in the report. He had intimate knowledge of his businesses, including, but not exclusive, to drug trafficking and murder.
I never heard of him.
His own people were selling him to a gang of Hungarians. Most likely the same Hungarians that Soze all but wiped out back in Turkey. The money wasn't there for dope. The Hungarians were going to buy the one guy that could incriminate Kaiser Soze.
I said I never heard of him.
But Keaton did. Edie Finneran was Marquez's extradition advisor. She knew who he was and what he knew. There were no drugs on that boat. It was a hit. A suicide mission to whack out the one guy that could finger Kaiser Soze. So Soze put some thieves to it. Men he knew he could march into certain death.
You're saying Soze sent us to kill someone?
I'm saying Keaton did. Verbal, he left you behind for a reason.
Just do what I tell you.
If you all knew that Soze could find you anywhere, why did he give you the money to run? He could have used you on the boat.
He wanted me to live.
one-time dirty cop without a loyalty in the world finds it in his heart to save a worthless rat cripple? No, sir, why?
Edie.
I don't buy that reform story for a minute. Even if I did, I certainly don't believe he would send you to protect her. So why?
Because he was my friend.
No, Verbal. He wasn't your friend. Keaton didn't have friends.
What are you doing here?
He saved you because he wanted it that way. It was his will. Keaton was Kaiser Sose.
No.
The kind of man who could wrangle the wills of men like Hackney and McManus. The kind of man who could engineer a police lineup through all his years of contacts in NYPD. The kind of man who could have killed Edie Finneran. She was found yesterday at a hotel in Pennsylvania, shot twice in the head. What do you think about Keaton now, Verbal?
Edie?
He used all of you to get him on that boat. He couldn't get on alone. He had to pull the trigger himself to make sure he got his man. The one man that could identify him.
This is all bullshit.
You said you saw him die? Or did you? You had to hide when you first heard the police cars. You said you heard the shot before the fire. But you didn't see him die.
I knew him. He would never.
He programmed you. He programmed you to tell us just what he wanted you to. He knew we were close. You said it yourself. Where was the political pressure coming from? Why were you being protected? It was Keaton. Immunity was your reward.
But why me? Why not Fester or McManus or Hockney? Why me? I'm stupid. I'm a cripple. Why me?
Because you're a cripple, Verbal. Because you're stupid. Because you're weaker than them. If he's dead, if what you say is true, then it won't matter. It was his idea to hit the taxi service in New York, wasn't it? Come on, tell me the truth.
It was all Keaton. We followed him from the beginning. I didn't know. I saw him die. I believe he's dead. Oh, Christ.
You're not safe on your own.
You think he's...
Kaiser Sose? I don't know, Verbal. Kaiser Sose is a shield, or like you said, a spook story. But I know Keaton, and someone is out there pulling strings for you. Stay here and let us protect you.
No way. I'm not bait. I post today.
You posted 20 minutes ago. Captain Leo wants you out of here ASAP, unless you turn states.
I'll take my chances. Thank you.
If someone wants to get you, they're going to get you out there. Turn states evidence. You might never see trial.
Maybe so. But I'm not a rat, Agent Kuvion.
Verbal drags himself out of his chair and opens the door to the office. In the doorway, he pauses and turns back towards Kuyan.
Fucking cops.
Kuyan stands in the doorway of Rabin's office, watching the pitiful figure of Verbal as he shambles away. At the hospital, a grizzled man emerges from a side room and crosses to the ward desk.
Excuse me, can I use your fax machine?
Verbal picks up his effects.
I'll have to sign for these. Kim. One watch, gold. One cigarette lighter, gold. One pack of cigarettes, thank you.
You still got nothing, Dave.
I know what I wanted to know about Keaton.
Just nothing.
No matter. He'll have to know how close we came.
Kaiser Sose or no Kaiser Sose. If Keaton is alive, he's not coming up again.
I'll find him.
Waste of time.
A room is not a room and it doesn't die.
What?
Nothing. Man, you're a slob.
Yeah, but it all has a system, Dave. Makes sense when you look at it right. You gotta, like, stand back from it, you know? You wanna see a real horror show? See my garage.
Kuyan perches on Rabin's desk, finally permitting himself to relax and enjoy his cup of coffee. He looks at the crowded pinboards festooning the office walls. Something seems to catch his attention. His eyes narrow. He lets fall his coffee cup, which smashes on the floor, splashing his polished brown shoes. The pinboard bears a label reading Quartet, Skokie, Illinois. Other keywords and images from Verbal's deposition are found to be dotted around among the clippings.
Convince me. And tell me every
last... back when I was in that barbershop quartet in Skokie, Illinois.
Where's your head, Agent Kuyun?
What we need to do is think. Think back.
I'm sure you've heard many tall tales.
Bricks Marlin.
This isn't right.
I just want to
tell
hear your story.
Every last detail.
It's all there. And I'm telling it straight, I swear.
Some guy in California, his name is Redfoot.
A gift from Mr. Sose.
Talk to me, Verbal.
What about Redfoot?
Mr. Redfoot, you're nothing. You think pawns.
Big, fat guy. I mean, like orca fat.
There was a lawyer.
Myths and legends have
Kobayashi, sir. I've never seen him again.
Back when I was picking beans in Guatemala, we used to make fresh coffee.
I know you thought he was a good man.
I know he was good.
And tell me every last detail.
Strangest thing.
How do you shoot the devil in the back?
This orca is protected from up on high by the prince. And tell me every last detail.
What about a pretzel, man? What's your story?
There was a lawyer.
What lawyer, Verbal?
I am Mr. Kobayashi.
Kobayashi. Tell me every last detail.
I work for Kaiser Soze.
Convince me.
Kuyan dashes from the office, leaving the floor scattered with shards of his Kobayashi porcelain mug. The fax machine starts chugging out a sheet of paper. Bayer stops to have a look. Kuyan charges down the precinct stairs.
Every creeping scumbag that works the street for a living will know the name of Verbal Kent.
The cripple, did you see him? The cripple, which way did he go?
Oh, he went out that way.
I know you know something. I know you're not telling me you say something. I'm smarter than you, and I'm going to find out what I want to know, whether you like it or not.
To a cop, the explanation is never that.
You know what I'm getting at, Verbal, the truth.
Come on, Verbal, who do you think you're
the street? No, aren't you criminal losing at all?
Somebody with power.
There was
somebody who was capable of tracking us in New York for the
time. You think a guy like that is this close to getting caught and sticks his head out?
Because you're stupid, Verbal. Because you're
Kaiser
a cripple.
But I want to know if he's the gimp.
You know the whole fucking time.
If he comes up for
anything, he's
going to give me the name. But I'm sure Keaton is dead.
I can't feel my legs, Kaiser.
First thing I learned on the job, you know what it was? How to spot a murderer.
You tell me you got the cripple in there from New York.
Yeah.
He mentioned Kaiser Soze.
Who?
After that, my guess is you'll never hear from him again.
Verbal's withered leg has gradually straightened. His deformed left hand has unclenched. The fax in the office is torn out, revealing a sketch of a man very similar to Verbal. He lights himself a cigarette with his gold lighter and climbs into a waiting Jaguar driven by the man we have known as Kobayashi. Kuyan stands in the street, staring around desperately.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
And like that,
the end.